Friday, Tommy's niece was in a car accident. She's 17 years old, just got her license, just got her car, paid for it herself. Her lung collapsed. We prayed for totally healing. She was fine. She went home in 2 days. Unfortunately, she did have to go back for surgery because it was a little worse than they thought. And I texted the Havrim group. On Wednesday, she went through surgery. It only took an hour and a half. They had to remove part of her lung as a 17-year-old, which is sad, and stapled it. But she's going to be fine, and she is home. And Amen. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you, Jesus Christ, for bringing her through and her surgical
Amen.
Team.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Any other testimonies? Eric?
Yes, I have to say I had an amazing week this week. I had a lot of prayers answered and stuff that I wasn't even praying for answered. I had the time to celebrate my mom's birthday yesterday and got to see family members from all around the country, and my uncle that I don't get to see very much. Also, my cousin was involved in a very serious car accident as well, and God had his hand on her, and she only came out of it with bumps and bruises.
Amen.
And
Amen.
I also had a problem with my truck where I was having problems with the transmission, and we prayed Thursday night at our Bible study, and the transmission guy, he drove the thing around, and Nicole was driving around for a few days and hasn't been acting up ever since, and I just believe that's
Amen.
Just God's work.
Amen. The great physician is also a great mechanic. Yes. Amen. Brian?
The enemy afflicted me and afflicted me. I had pneumonia, thyroid problems, everything you can imagine. But nothing stronger than the Lord. He lifted me up, and here I am.
Amen.
Healthy and happy and feeling great.
Amen. Amen. Ryan?
Yes. Go ahead. I've been experiencing some up and downs for quite some time. But coming here has been helping me a lot, unlike some churches. It's made me feel closer to God, and that's the most important thing to me.
Amen.
And also, support from my family and friends have been helpful as well. And I'm getting better every day, and I can see that you have all been supportive as well, and I am thankful for that.
Amen. Thank you. Praise God.
I just want to thank Jesus for my baptism Amen. And all for your love and keep praying and
Amen.
God bless all of you.
Amen.
I told Jerry last week that we were going to be coming here this week. So on our way over here, I really didn't remember what street to turn down. So I kept thinking it was Division Street. I got to turn Division. Well, I passed it and I got to the all the way down to the end, and I'm like, Jerry, we passed it. So I came down to 3rd Street, and I'm like, well, it's not gone. I know if I go this way, I can find Warren going that way. So then I turned around and came back. I said, because I'm not going to get lost in all the streets and everything, so I was going to backtrack. I saw this little sign that said Reformed Church. I said, that's where we got to go. I had to turn around again and come back. So I know. I told him, I said, you see what we had to go through to get here? I said, I know the Lord wanted us here
Amen.
Today. We got here.
Amen. Anyone else? Jackie?
I've been coming off and on for the past couple of years, and I have to say, though, last year at this time, my fiancé and I were literally separated, going through so many different hardships in so many different ways, and it is only by the miracle of God and allowing him into our home and not giving up even during the hardest times
Amen.
That I can praise God and say that now we're getting married in less than a year, and we have a date, and we've made a commitment to see it out to the end. And I can tell you this would have never happened without Jesus in our lives. So I just want to praise God for that, because it is truly a miracle.
Amen. 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 One more person? Oh, let me. All right, we'll do two more. We'll let you come back, Eric, after Jay.
I just, I've been involved with drugs since I was 14 years old. I've been clean for the last 10 months. I've been coming to this church for about 10 months already, and I'm just grateful to be here, and I know that people here pray for me, and it's because of God that I'm clean now, and I got to give him all the thanks and glory.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I have one more thing which I forgot about, which I feel bad about, but I also have to thank the Lord, too, for letting us be able to have AJ with us this weekend, even though, you know, we were told that, you know, he's supposed to be going to see his father on the weekends now. So that is just a blessing from him as well.
Amen. Amen. Hey, that's all right.
I just want to say that I've been getting closer to the Lord. Praise God. And, excuse me. And I've just been telling myself lately, like, that no one can steal my joy because my joy comes from the Lord. And let me just tell you, I am in his joy every day. So I just praise the Lord and thank Amen. You.
Ever since I got baptized, when I pray, sometimes I would hear words and sometimes I would get a feeling. And I asked God, I said, God, who is answering me? Is it you, God, or is it Jesus? And I got this feeling, and the feeling was telling me, when you get the feeling, that's me, but when you hear words, that's Jesus. Mm. And it just gave me such a sense of peace. So now I know the difference, and it made me feel really good because I know that God and Jesus.
Discerning the Lord's voice.
Yes, and Amen. It's just such a great feeling. So I know that I have such a connection with God.
Amen.
Such a great feeling.
Amen. Amen. Good glory, God. See, it's important we do this because the Lord deserves honor for who he is. And he deserves to be praised. We don't want to rob him of his praise. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? And let's raise our Bibles and give God glory for his word. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. So, if you would, turn with those Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18 and maybe put a little note or sticky on Acts chapter 2. We've started the series about revival. The fire, the fan, and the flame. And we spent a couple of weeks talking about the fire of God coming to consume the sacrifice. That it's God who ignites the fires of revival. But the fire comes down when there is a sacrifice at the altar. If there's anything I would want you to remember, if you forget everything else we talked about the first 2 weeks, and you can check them out on the website, both messages. One thing, if you can just take away one thing, is fire comes when there is a sacrifice. When I am willing to sacrifice things of me, God pours his spirit. When I choose to get rid of the junk to receive of God, he pours his spirit. He sends his fire. When the people are hungry, when they're willing, when there's somebody wanting, and we have a church that's wanting, we have a peoples that want, the Lord sends his fire. And we talked about that. So now the Lord sends his fire, but we need to keep that fire burning. And let's talk about the fan. We are priests, are we not? Aren't we called priests of the Most High? We are priests. What does a priest do? They're responsible for what takes place in the worship of God, of keeping things going. And we are the priests that are responsible for the fire that the Holy Spirit sends, that comes in the power of God. We have to fan the flames of revival. And you don't have to be a Boy Scout to know that when you got a little campfire going or a little backyard fire going on in your little thing, forget what they're called right now, fire pit, thank you, duh. When it starts to go down, you either need to put some logs on that thing and you take a piece of paper, you need to fan it to get the flames going again so they'll take on the new logs, on the new wood. Some of us do it the old-fashioned way, take some gasoline and just dump it on there. No matter how you need to do it, we need to fan those flames. It's our responsibility to keep it going. We can say we want it, and Lord will send it, but now we have to flow in it. And the fire is not limited by space and time. But it is on us to keep it going. Keep up with what God is doing. See, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says this, pray without ceasing. And most of us know that does not mean that I have to literally just sit there the whole time going, dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord. It means I am communing with God continually. I am continually in His presence. I am continually having a relationship with Him. Now apply it to this. Lord is sending His fire, and here's the key thing to the fire of God. Lord sends the fire. It's what God is doing. It's my job to line myself up with what God is doing in order to keep the fire going and let it grow and let it build. So Lord, I need to commune with You. I need to maintain a state of communion where I can hear You clearly, recognize Your voice, like was mentioned, to know it is You, so I can flow with You with what You're doing in my life, or what You're doing with our church, or with things that are going on. We go back to this change of format. That's why we've changed this. We've been asking God, you know, send the fire, bring us closer to You. It's been prophesied about our church by so many different people that this church is going to grow, and this church will be a place where people come to encounter the presence of God. That's what our church is going to be known for. That's why people are going to come, because the presence of God is going to be here. Is here, not going to be here, is here, is alive. Speaking, touching, ministering, healing, moving in people. So we said, Lord, this is what You're doing. We want to line ourselves up with You, with this fire that You've started, and we don't want to quench the Spirit. So how can we do a better job? And He said, keep the flow of your worship. Minimize anything getting in the way of it. And do everything in worship of Me. Do everything in worship of Me. From the get-go, even as you come in worship, come to My place and offer your sacrifices. In worship, greet one another. In worship, sing praises unto Me. In worship, lift up your hearts to Me. In worship, listen to My words. In worship, lift up one another. What are You doing, Lord? Let's stay in communion with You. Let's stay tuned into what You are doing and follow You. Not say, oh, this is what You're doing. Good. Now, God, let's take what You're doing and do it that way. It's not the way it works. That's how you quench the fire. And as I said from the beginning, I'm using a lot of quotes from Bill Johnson, whose church in Redding, California, Bethel Church, they were 15, 20 years ago where we are today. And now they are a vibrant church acting and moving in the power of the Spirit, where the presence of God is real and empowering. And I love the things he said, because they're so applicable to what we're going through right now. One of the things he said is it never occurred to me that I had a role in maintaining and increasing the move of God. That it's up to us. Not up to one person, but it's up to us. It's up to us to carry the flame. You want to expand the fire, each one of us needs to take that flame and run with it. But the way God is doing it, in his way. He also says, one thing he learned is, I will make what you are doing the only thing we do. Did you get that? That commitment. I will make what you are doing, God, the only thing that matters, the only thing that we do. We're not going to go outside of what you are doing, and we're not going to go less than what you are doing. But we're going to do what you are doing, going to make what you are doing the only thing, our purpose, our vision, our efforts, our time, our monies, our attitudes, our everything that we do. We're pouring it into that way. Because we want to be lined up with you, God, with you, Holy Spirit, in ways that we've never been lined up before. We don't want to get outside those lines. See, John 5:19, writing of Jesus, says, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Jesus said, Father, I'm going to make what you're doing the only thing you do. The most important thing and my only purpose in my life. I don't do anything outside of that. I'm going to do what you are doing. I am in tune. I'm praying without ceasing. I'm tuned in to what God has established in heaven. And I'm bringing it down to earth, manifesting it in earth. I'm communicating with you. I'm in communion with you through the Holy Spirit. I know your heart. So therefore, I'm going to flow with your heart because of our relationship together. He did what the Father did. We are to do, see exactly what God is doing, and just do it. Lord, what are you doing today? What, open my eyes, Holy Spirit, that I see the way God sees, that I know the way God knows. What are you doing today that I can be a part of, Holy Spirit? How can I line my heart up with you, my efforts, my time, my priorities with you? How can I do these things, Lord, to bring glory to you and fan the flames of your fire in my soul and make a difference for the kingdom of God? Because everything that God wants to do is to glorify the kingdom of God by filling the kingdom of God with adopted sons and daughters. That's you and I who've been saved by his grace and his love and can receive his Spirit to do the same, to flow. Everything Jesus did was so that man can have a relationship with God again. The communion and the relationship that was broken at the garden when Adam and Eve walked, talked, breathed, sat, ate with God the Father. And everything God has been doing since has been trying to get us back to there. It's his desire. And Jesus fulfilled that. He was doing the work of God. God, what are you, Father in heaven, what is it that you are doing? What is it you want done? And I'm only going to do what you're doing and follow through. John 12, verse 49 and 50 says this, for I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. This is Jesus. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak as the Father has told me. I'm only going to say what you have say. I'm only going to say words. They're going to breathe life into people. I'm only going to speak words. They're going to edify and build the kingdom of God. The words that I speak come from my heart because your mouth reveals what's inside of you. And what was inside of Jesus was the heart of God. And he spoke the heart of God. I'm going to speak. Why? Why do I speak? Because I know this is the commandment for what? It's eternal life. Breathe life into people. The purpose of the fires of God, the revival fires of God in our souls, is to restore the children of God to their Father as they were meant to be, as a prince and a princess of the kingdom of God, co-heirs with Christ, to walk in your priestly robe that you've been given, through the salvation, through the grace, through the mercy, through the anointing that God has placed on us in his Spirit. As we receive those things, as we receive him, to walk in such a way, to carry ourselves. You know, I shared with our home group Wednesday night, one of the struggles I had is I know up here that I am meant to walk as a prince, co-heir with Christ as the king of the heavenly kingdom. But in my flesh sometimes, and due to my human weaknesses, I know it up here, but I have a hard time living it out right now at times. It's a struggle. I know I'm supposed to walk into work knowing whose authority and whose commissioning and whose anointing is on me. But my flesh sometimes, in its insecurity, beckons down and cowers. And I've got to learn my identity. I've got to keep working to learn my identity so that I carry myself as a co-heir with Christ of his heavenly kingdom, that as a priest of the kingdom of God, as one who carries the boldness and the strength of the word of God and the presence of God wherever I go, that I may fan the flames of revival, that I can take what God does here, not just to my home, but to my job tomorrow morning, that I carry that fire, if part of that flame that is being lit here in my soul, and I take it to my job, and I ignite, and I speak words of eternal life to those around me, that I impart the presence of God and make a difference, that I claim my workplace as holy ground, because the presence of, where the presence of the Lord is, it's holy. And if I'm carrying the presence of the Lord, guess what it's supposed to be? Holy. Fan that flame. See, miracles and healings did not happen because God had to prove himself. Think about that. Jesus never did a miracle or healing to prove God. He just acted at what God wanted to do. Disciples never healed just to prove God. They did what they did because that's how the Holy Spirit was flowing. God doesn't need us to prove him. He needs us to reveal him. He needs us to reveal him as walking epistles of the Word of God and walking examples of the Spirit of God flowing in us. See, God heard the cry of his people and he came down to rescue them from their taskmasters. In the Old Testament, the taskmasters were the Egyptians. But right now, you know who the taskmasters are? They are the demonic and the disease that Jesus came to set his people free from. Okay? And what I mean by that is those thoughts that the devil puts in our head to keep us apart from meditating on the Word of God and renewing our minds with the Word of God and recognizing who we are in God, in Christ, in his Spirit. I'm not worthy enough. I can't. Who am I? Why me? Those things are not from God. Holy Spirit encourages, and the other guy discourages. If you're ever feeling discouraged, that's not God. Whenever if you're hearing words that are making you feel discouraged, that's not God. The Holy Spirit encourages, motivates, convicts to motivate and to encourage, to move us closer with God. And he came to set us free. See, what is the heart of God? God is a rescuer. Guess what? Let's be rescued. God is moving. Let's move with him. Let's be moved. We lay ourselves at the altar and let's stay at the altar. Let's keep ourselves there. Keep ourselves there till it burns, till his fire comes down, and then carry that fire, lining ourselves up with what God wants to do. Well, God, what are you doing? Well, his presence is here. In his presence, what happens? And we'll talk more about that as we talk about the flame itself next time. But in his presence, we see healing, we see deliverance, people being set free, whether it's from mental bondage, emotional bondage, forgiveness, healing of emotional wounds that we've suffered. In his presence, we're no longer guilty of our sin, but we have been set free from sin and shame. In his presence, we find peace. In his presence, we don't just find peace, we stand in peace. Remember what one of the pieces of the armor of God is. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We stand and we walk in his peace. In his presence, revelation takes place. We know his heart. If God is rescuing, let's be rescued. That's how God is moving today. If God is healing, bring, what does he say? Bring the sick. Bring the sick unto me. If that's what God is doing, bring them. If God is touching, be touched. Allow yourself to be touched. Fan the flames and then take what he's touching you with and pass it on. Pass it on to the next person. Grow in the things of God. Excuse me. Making room for God to do as he pleases. This is a quote from Bill Johnson. And then cooperating with him is the greatest thing we can do to see an increase in signs and wonders. Let me read that again. Making room for God to do as he pleases and then cooperating with him is the greatest thing we can do to see an increase in signs and wonders. You want to fan the flames? Get yourself on that altar of God and let his fire come down and let it purge and burn the nonsense, the junk, the stuff, because if you're harboring anger and unforgiveness, his mercy has no room to flow. And you're not going to flow, his presence flow freely. If you're harboring anything, if you're still dealing with things that God has not healed you from, you're hindering the fullness of his presence overflowing on you and through you. Every day, every week, every hour even, at times, I have to do a personal check and say, Lord, okay, why did I just think that way? Why did I do that way? Anytime I get angry at my wife, why did I get angry at her? Is it because she did something, or is it something in me that I need to repent of, I need to work through? Where did that thought come from? I need to stay at that altar and let his fire come down and cleanse me from the inside so that then I can cooperate with what he is doing. Give him the freedom to do what he wants to do. I can't love if I'm still holding a grudge. You want to hinder the Spirit of God from healing through you, from ministering through you? Hold on to things that you need to let go of. You want God to have complete access and freedom in you to move through you, to impart, to fan the flames of revival? Empty yourself out. Let him purge. The Bible says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. That's not just physical healing. It's up here and up here. Get that cleansed through. Make room for God to flow with him. Acts chapter 2. We're going to read this rather quickly. Beginning verse 1. Most of you know this story, but I want you to see something. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, this is verse 1 through 16, they were all in one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them other utterances. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language, in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all of these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visiting from Rome both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own language the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They're full of new wine." There will always be the doubters, no matter what. When the glory of God comes, expect there be doubters, because the enemy's trying to quench the fire of God. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, "Let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." And at that point, Peter continues. He preaches what Joel said, and then he continues his sermon. And what do we hear? Thousands got saved. Thousands were added to the kingdom that day and were touched by the Holy Spirit. See, the fire of God came. And we've talked about endlessly how they have to be in one accord. They had to be ready. They had to be at that altar for God, ready for God to receive, place themselves at the altar. There was a sacrifice. And when the sacrifice was ready, the fire came down. But they had to fan the flame. See, they could have stayed up in the upper room and just kept talking, and people were wondering, and they could have just let him go. But look at the choice they made to fan the fire. They got down from the upper room and they went among the people. Peter stood and preached. They began. This is one of those things, what we call like a drash, where you're kind of putting yourself in the story a little bit. Peter preached. What do you think the other disciples were doing? You think they were still in the upper room? They were among the people. They were ministering to the people. They were praying and speaking in spiritual tongues over the people. They were blessing the people. They were there. They were there. The presence of God was there. They made the choice of not to, "Ooh, let's just stay in our four walls of the church. This is so cool." But they got out there. They decided to fan the flames and they let it spread. And thousands came into the kingdom of God that day. The disciples still had to make the choice to follow through with what God was doing. They recognized, "Oh God, this is what you're doing, but man, this is not just for us. Let's let it pour." And they went out there and imparted and poured out. Let the Holy Spirit pour through them and onto everyone around them. They had to choose to fan the flames of that fire. God's Spirit was moving. The disciples had to move with His Spirit. They kept it passing. They keep passing it. They keep it going. They kept fanning it. It was a choice they make. when the Holy Spirit's moving in us, it's a choice we make. It's a choice we make. What do we do with that now? I love the fact that many people in this church are learning that about words of knowledge, about things when that start happening to them that's out of the ordinary, that it may not be for them, but for somebody else. All of a sudden in prayer, your hands get hot. And you don't know why? That means God's about to do something with your hands. Maybe there's someone you need to touch and impart healing on who's going through something. Maybe all of a sudden your knee starts hurting. Your knee has never hurt you before. And you go, okay, it's not for me, so it must be for someone here who has a hurt knee that I'm being called to pray over right now. These are words of knowledge. Maybe your hands are ice cold all of a sudden, or you're feeling a chill on your body, and you need to touch someone and minister to them however the Holy Spirit. Ask Him, Lord, what do I do now? What do I do now? I know for me, when the Holy Spirit's moving, my right hand just starts shaking and I can't stop it. I can't stop it. I remember one time He was moving so strong and I had to scratch my face. I'm going like this. I'm hitting myself in the face while I'm trying to scratch because I could not stop it. Presence of God till I laid hands and touched somebody and prayed over them. But when the Holy Spirit's moving, it's up to me to make the choice to carry that flame, to fan it and let it grow. All revivals start because of God and end because of man. I don't want to be the one that ends a revival. I don't want to be the one to quench the fire that comes from heaven. I want to keep it going. I want it to burn. I've said this before, and it might have sounded jokingly, but I wanted to revival to start here, and I want to be the Bible Belt of the Northeast, but not just in name, but in presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I want the word to spread that the presence of God is here and people come to be healed and changed and touched and renewed. We need to fan that flame. We may need to be doing a better job inviting people to come with us, whether it's to church or to Bible studies. Maybe we need to do a better job of befriending people and getting out of our Christian circles and going into the world, making friends and drawing them in. Maybe we need to be more obedient when we feel the Holy Spirit saying, you need to go pray for somebody. We go, no, I can't. Who am I? You're a priest. You're anointed. You're a child of the Most High. That's who you are. And you're not meant to be that just so someone can take a picture with you. You're meant to rule over the kingdom of darkness with Christ as co-heir, as an overcomer. What did Jesus say? Go into the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, heal the sick, cast out demons, right? Do these things. That means you've got authority over them. That's what we're meant to do. Fan them flames. This quote by Bill Johnson I really love, and it's very powerful. Some things end only because we do not become the person He needs us to be in order to give increase to us. Think about that. They end because I'm not willing to go where God wants me to go. Some things end only because I am not willing to take that step of faith. He's pouring His fire. He's about to break through. Our job is to get out there and speak words of life to people, to touch people, to invite, to make a difference in the neighborhood. And we stay home. You think that fire is going to keep burning? It's going to fizzle out. Because I didn't do my job. I have a job to do, and that's to carry that flame, to fan that flame even more so. I need to allow Him to move within me and keep myself moving. Lord, what are You doing? Just like Jesus, I only see and do what I see the Father does and what He wants. I only speak what the Father speaks. That's it. I know my Father's heart. This is what He's doing, so this is how I'm doing it, according to Him. And that's how the flame gets fanned. That's how we keep pressing into what God is doing. We keep going. Lord, what are you doing? How can I be a part of it? And keep it burning. Keep it going. I want burn within me, Lord. Burn within me, Lord. Burn, burn, burn. And I want to make it hotter. I don't want to just maintain it, but I want it to become hotter. I want to throw another log in that flame and let it burn. I can't tell you what you need to do because I don't know what's going on in your heart to fan the flames of what God, not only what God is doing with our church, but what God is doing with you as he's pouring his fire onto you. Because I promise you, if you place yourself on his altar, he's sending the fire. He will never deny someone who places himself at the altar. He never will deny you. But when the fire comes, what are you going to do next? Will you even keep yourself at the altar, or are you going to jump off the altar? Because you're not ready to go that far. See, that's the issue. God can only pour what we allow him to pour. Would you stand with me and close your eyes and bow your heads? Holy Spirit, we